And if I happen to slip up and repeat something, we just won't play it on the internet. I don't really care. Because not everybody knows about that. But I think it's a matter of importance. Because we're playing games. Turn with me. Oh, can I read this? Can I read this? Please, let me read this. This is in the back of this book. Beck, can I read it? You ready? What is the man-centered interpretation of the historical cross? It is a happy remedy for sin and a source of power and blessing. Sounds like the modern-day church, doesn't it? The only reason Jesus died was to save me and then to bless me and give me power. Tell me I'm wrong. That's why the people like Joel Osteen have 30,000 members in their church and they sell billions of dollars in books. Because people want to be told. Listen, when Brother Barner wrote the book, Chosen for Greatness, do you know how many people thought they were the greatness? But if you really read into the title, what he was saying is, you were chosen for greatness. The greatness was God. We loved the title because we thought it was about us. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to make you and I understand this one simple principle. If we do not understand... Listen, do you know what? I'm all messed up right now. I'm going to tell you what. Do you realize that the cross that Jesus went on was greater than just redemption? It was the ultimate selfless act to prove to you and I that he could go on a cross. His cross became a cross for you and I, but he was the example to show you and I what we must do. And that's lay down our life. Do you realize when Jesus, he came down from heaven, and what he was showing them when he was washing his feet was he said, I stripped off all of my glory that I had from the beginning. Because remember in John, he said, Father, now glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the beginning. And he showed them, he stripped off all of his garment. He came down into humanity. He came down into the manger, into the slop, into all the garbage of life. Adam. And he mopped it up. And when he was all done, it says he put his clothes back on and he went and sat down and rested. And what he really did was this, Rebecca. Do you realize before Jesus ever went to the cross, he endured the cross? When the Bible says he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness. Doesn't it say that? And at that moment, he could have done one of two things. Hang on that cross or not hang. The same temptation or testing that you and I go through continually. Or watch this, every day. Are you with me? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Now, if you don't want to hear this, please don't listen. And if you don't want to read this, just chalk it up as me saying it. Okay? Verse 35 of chapter 10. For I have come. Oh, wait. Maybe I better. 34. Think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes or enemies are of his own household. And he that loves his father or mother more than me is not. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not. Now watch this. And he that taketh not up
taketh not his cross. Whose cross? Your own.
There's two crosses.
His that he did for you, and yours that you have to hang on yourself.
Are you with me?
And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me.
Did you hear that? Now, I'd like to spend some time and go here, but I won't do that. Well, in chapter 16, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen? And then in another place, it says this. Let me see if I can find it. Just give me a second. It says in Mark, same thing. He said unto them, whosoever deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There is a place. I wanted to read it. If you give me a second. Oh, here it is. Turn with me to Luke 9. Luke 9. I have to read this one. And there's a reason why I want to read this one. Luke chapter 9. Are you with me? Is everybody on board tonight? You know, the last thing that, you know, I understand, but we've preached ourselves so happy that we've missed God. And we've deceived ourselves that as long as I feel good, it is God. And the last time I checked, reading this Bible, and I'm thinking it hasn't changed much, because we can talk about a lot of what we'll call heroes. I mean, real people of God through the course of centuries. I mean, persecution was... Are you with me? Now, I have a question for you. I want you to answer this question for me. You ready? Here we go. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross. What? That's why I wanted to read this one. It's not a one-time act, is it? See, that's why we like redemption. It was a one-time act by someone else for me. As me. But this is a whole different scenario, isn't it? This is explaining the eternal cross. The same thing when he said to Adam, Adam, don't eat from that tree. Now you have a cross to bear. I find it interesting. You know, the man from Cyrene, his name was Simon. He, the Bible says that he had to bear Jesus' cross, right? Watch this. Simon means to hear. Listen, if we all can hear, we'll bear that cross. And what that cross was, watch this. It says that he was obedient unto the death of the cross. And if you can hear what the Spirit says, do you understand what I just did to you? Do you understand what kind of example I am to you? When I tell you to wash others' feet like I've washed yours, what I'm really telling you is this. You have come down into humanity, and he wants us to lay aside our lives so that we can sacrifice, be obedient to the Father, so that we can sit down and rest with him. We're fooled, Uncle Terry. We're deceived that we still think that it's all about power and blessing and making me happy. The Bible says, watch this, I said this, I made this statement yesterday. Isn't it sad that you can save the whole world and lose your own soul? We can save everybody but ourselves. When God says, let me tell you how you do it, pick up your own cross and die daily, Paul said. Daily. Isn't that what he said? Daily. Every single day. I was listening to a message by my dad. I don't know which day it was, but he says he was talking to someone, or but you know, he says, can you believe that there are people, even preachers, they don't even read their Bibles every day? But you know what we want to be? Like the sons of thunder's mama. Who's going to sit on your left and who's going to sit on your right? Because all we care about is stardom. Just like Jonathan. I'm not going to go out in there in wilderness with you, David. But I'll tell you what, when you come into your kingdom, I know I'll have a seat right next to you. The thing that we fail to understand is this. One of the reasons we don't see real victory going on in the church is because we don't see real death going on in our lives. Oh, no, I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about what lands right between the ears. You know why this church don't have very many people in it? It's not for everybody. Because not everybody's going to die back. Not everybody's going to hang on a cross. Can you really hear what I'm saying? You can dance with him and fellowship with him, and you can eat with him, and you can have bread with him all the way up to the moment he reveals what's in your heart. My God, how sick is that? Do you think at any time Judas thought he was going to hang himself? Do you think at any time Judas thought he was going to betray him? I'll bet you he even justified why he did it. And the Bible says, oh my God, do you know what the Bible says? It says Judas repented. He went back and he threw the money. Oh, I don't want to take it back. And they said, no, we can't take the money. Hey, dude, you did it. But the word repented doesn't mean change the mind. It's a totally different Greek word. It actually has a definition that says, you know, given the same opportunity, I'll drink that vomit again. I'll eat it again. Because a dog always returns. Given the same exact circumstance. That's why God gives us the cries of our heart, only to put us in circumstances to find out that, listen, it wasn't the circumstance, it was you. What he does to us, because he wants us to die, Dale, to ourselves. I don't know about you, but I love this. I do. I love this. This is meat to me. This tells me, God, I have hope in you, that I know that if I die to myself, God, I'll have victory with you. I'll rule and reign with you. Because you know what the Bible says? If you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. We wanted to what? You know what we wanted? My God, we wanted the power of God to work through us without it ever working in us. And the only reason we wanted it to work through us, because it was about us. Look at what I've done. Never understanding the work in us, Steve, is the work of the cross. Not the redemptive cross, the eternal cross. The one that he said to you and I, pick up and die daily. Because ultimately, listen, can you understand? I don't know if I'm even making my point, but I've got it. I grasp it. I understand it. That Jesus' whole point of coming down here wasn't to redeem us only, but the cross was bigger than that. That he was saying, Father, it can be done. I can obey everything, even to the death on a cross. Peter, oh, I don't know him. To the point, listen, dudes, you can do whatever you want to me. He's the king. There was a change. There was a metamorphosis. There was a transformation. Not necessarily on the outside, but it took place right here. Where once he hid and ran for his life, he came to a place that he said, my God, this is real. Brother Varner said something awesome on the tape. He said, listen, a testimony can't feed you. It's all you hear in the church today. You need the word. This will change your life. It'll change your life. Do you understand, seriously, do you understand why the masses won't eat this? Because most of them are carnal and it's full of flesh. It takes a spirit life to be able to devour it. Because who in their right reasoning mind wants to die? And we know this, that God says, I'll take the foolishness to confound the wise. Now, watch this. I'm all messed up tonight, but I'll tell you what, I've been jacked for 3 days because, you know, I started getting reading this stuff and it's just been rolling in me. And God, you know, he's brought me all the way back to when Justin Phillips prophesied to me that he says, I'm going to take down some fences. Well, guess what? You know what the fences are? It's hanging on a cross. It's dying to self. It puts you right in a miry pit, Uncle Terry. When the unit comes to get you out, the Holy Ghost, he'll use rags and stinky old stuff just to let you know your help comes from above. We wanted to live in palaces and be kings without ever being processed by the king. Do you realize, seriously? I tell you the truth and I love every minute of it. Number one, I thank God that I never had a spirit of stardom in me. But there's still flesh. So God puts me right in a little old dinky place like this in a nowhere land. And says, you know what? Just like the manger. Down in little old Bethlehem. Remember what? Hey, do you remember what? The disciple. He said, well, what good could come out of Bethlehem or out of Nazareth? What good? I mean, people say that about poor Aaron. Poor pee-pee. Poor Aaron. Right? That's the nickname. Am I right? You know what the saddest part is? Detroit's one of the worst cities global. But it used to be one of the most powerful cities there ever was. Not just economically, spiritually speaking. But you know what we wanted to do, Uncle Terry? Mother, father, children, husbands, wives, families was more important. He said, if you don't deny that, I'll leave you to yourselves. And there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I don't like this kind of preaching. I'm sorry. You'll have to go to another church then. Because I like this, because I know one thing. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And we live in an hour, this will fly in the face of even our own circles sometimes. But you want to know what? I have a question for you, seriously. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12? How many did he take up in the mountain?
How many mighty men did David have? He had, well, it says 400 in the cave of Adullam, right? I think it was 400 or 600. But when he got right down to it, he said he had 30 chief men. But when he got right down to the nitty-gritty, he only sent 3 over to get him a drink of water. It's for everybody. No, he just got done telling us it's not for all of you. And the only reason he would ever say a thing like that, Uncle Terry, is because not all of you will pay a price. I mean, I've got a mentality, and you know, God will put you to the test. I got a mentality that says, what do I got to lose? What do I have to lose? This world? I mean, you read the first verse in chapter 13. It says, he had come to a point, now it was the hour for the departing from this world. Well, if this world was so great like we've made it out to be, I always say this, why didn't he stick around? I don't know if I can handle this. I know I can't handle it, but you know what? All I do is just keep walking day by day, pick up that cross daily, day by day. And you know what happens? God gets greater. Greater. Are you with me? Do you have stones or anything? I hope you don't want to stone me. Listen, I'm telling you, the eternal cross is not an afterthought of God. Well, Adam messed up, so now I need a cross. Never was that. It was before Adam ever messed up. Adam, you have a choice. Die to your own will and desire, right? Or die. I always told you this, right? The greatest thing that Jesus ever suffered was what? His own will, right? Now turn with me to, let me see, I have to find it. Just hang on 1 second. It's in Philippians. Turn with me. To Philippians chapter 3. I'm all messed up tonight. I'm sorry I haven't done very well on this, but if you think of the cross only as a redemptive measure, you've missed everything that God has desired about the cross. Should I say that again? If you only think of the cross, redemption, you know, I tell you, we missed the point. We really did. The whole point of the cross was to prove to you and I you can obey the Father or satisfy. Remember we talked about the Son satisfying the Father? That's what he said. The Father said to the Son, will you go down there and die on the cross for me? And in that death, it will take care of you know the reproach between man and me. He said, but I'm going to tell you what. I want you to go do it because it's bigger than that. I want you to show them what Adam couldn't do. All Adam had to do, listen, he had to obey, right? And what was the obedience? Don't eat from this tree. But listen, what would you rather do? I'm going to give you a choice. Listen, either eat from the tree and die, you know, or don't eat from the tree and die. You get that choice. Or listen, go down, you know, leave this nice, beautiful spot with me and lower yourself into Adam, humanity, and then, oh, by the way, suffer and die. Because I'm not going to be nice to you when you're down there. We all saw the R-rated movie, right? Jesus. We finally got an R-rated Jesus, right? You know, it's funny. You know when the Bible says, hey, for in this world you're going to have what? Tribulation, trouble, right? He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We've translated that into meaning, you know what? I've got to be happy all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not circumstances that make you happy. It's knowing that God is in control. Philippians chapter 3, are you with me? Now, we're talking about the cross, right? Jesus said to do what? Pick up your cross daily, right? Deny yourself. You know, isn't it interesting? We could pick up the cross and not deny ourselves. You know, and if we read a little further, it said, he said, he who loses his life shall what? And we quote this. We know this. But I have a question. Do we really live it? I really believe this. I believe God will put us in special circumstances just so that we'll die. I believe it. Because ultimately what he really wants is you to sit with him in the throne and to be a son that can do whatever the Father wants. Now, I don't know about you. Now, that brings cheerfulness to me. That brings joy. Because when a son can satisfy the Father, can you hear me? Listen to me, Dale. You've been called for a special place in God. And not everybody can understand what you've been called to. And you must understand yourself that you've been called to it. We've been called to something special, babe. Not everybody has the wherewithal to hang in there. But God's called us. And he'll put us in special circumstances that most people can't. It's out of your control. It's out of your control. But listen to this. Are you ready for this? Brethren, be followers of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Did you hear this? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping or crying, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, if you look at that strictly from this point of view, watch this, that you're an unbeliever, there's unbelievers or there's unbelief or whatever, and they won't accept the redemptive cross of Christ, you've limited what this verse is saying. You've only packaged it into one dimension. But I want to peel another layer of onion tonight. And if it causes your tears, your eyes to tear, the tears to run down your face, let it be so, because you understand what God really wants in your life. But if we refuse, Uncle Terry, to pick up the cross and die daily, we've become enemies of the cross, of Christ, not Jesus, of Christ. Because the eternal cross that works in the bosom of the Father was expressed in the actions in the redemption, but also showing forth the example that you and I must die to self. And if we do not, we're an enemy of the cross. And oh, watch this. Remember my message a couple years back? Friends, he wants to call us friends and not servants. Friends don't invite enemies to their house. Do you know why? If we're an enemy of the cross and we can't die to our flesh, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So what? You don't get an invite. Why do we think we're going to rule and reign with him if we don't suffer with him? See, we've thought overcoming always meant being happy and getting the victory. Let me tell you what, I have a question for you. When Jesus was, you know, and you ever wonder this? I mean, think about this. Think about this. I actually had these questions this week. I mean, I was thinking about it. Why did they nail him on a cross, Uncle Terry, and just not hanging from a tree? Why? Why? Suffering? He did. He suffered for hours, didn't he? But it says in Deuteronomy, it says anyone who hangeth on a tree is the curse of God. And he took the curse. Watch this. And he overcame it. He overcame it. He defeated the last enemy. Do you realize that if you and I will just die to ourselves, even if we die in the flesh, that it doesn't really matter because you will still defeat the last enemy? Now, I don't want to haul you all off down to Jonestown, you know, and have you drink the Kool-Aid, but this Kool-Aid here you better drink. And if you don't, you're welcome to leave, unlike down there, right? Because I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is, listen, if you can't handle this, you need to run. Because much is given, much will be required of us. I personally, as an individual, a part of who my mama and daddy are, a part of who my family is, I will be held accountable for what I preach. Because when God gives you revelation, He only re-gives it to you, not so you can be just a heralder, but you can become an example, a life, an expression of the Father's will. Do you want to be an expression of the Father's will? Do you? Do you? You know where it begins? Picking up your cross. And dying daily. And oh, watch this. Watch this. If we don't, we're enemies. Don't you hate it when God makes it this plain to us? I do. Because I don't have an excuse now, Steve. You really don't get it. We don't really get it. Do you realize, listen, that when you got married, that God put you in a situation for the cross. And out of it comes life. Life. Watch this. Not a good man's life where you have a house and, you know, cars and jobs. No, Christ's life. Where truly is what we all say we want in our hearts. I have a question for you. Who had more, you or Jesus, when he walked in the earth? Material goods, you had it better. Well, I don't know about that. Really? Do you think he got in a hot shower every day? A toilet? Some people don't even have that today, do they? I'm sure he didn't, you know, walk down Main Street and there were restaurants all around. Now, some people think he was rich because he had all that gold and stuff from when the wise men brought it to him. That I don't know. It's purely speculation, but the money went somewhere. Are you tired, baby? Are you tired, Selah? Selah? Are you with me? I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not. I'm just doing the book. I want you and I to understand. I want to understand. I want to know. I want to experience it. I am experiencing it. We're all experiencing it. Dying to self. You wouldn't be. Why did Jesus come? See, we don't get it. We didn't get the, I don't know. He said, do you understand what I just did to you? What I want you to really understand was this. I stepped out of the Father's heart. I laid aside everything that I was so that I could obey what He wanted for my life. And then He let me get dressed and sit down next to Him. And you and I came. We were birthed through our parents. We came through that path, okay? But we came from the Father's heart. We like to say it. We believe it. We were in the heart of God from the beginning. And out of that, we came into this realm so that we could be salt and light, obedient unto the Father's will. And His only will is that we die to ourselves so that He can allow us to be placed in the body as it pleases Him. We have so many examples in the Bible. So many examples in the Bible where they took the everyday common people who were just supposed to be salt and light and made them leaders. And they deceived the masses because of talent and not spirit. We can't tell the difference between talent and spirit because we judge, watch this, by who it is. I'll tell you what, seriously, this is a joke now, but it's truth. I read in the Bible the devil quoting more scripture than most Christians I know. The devil's always quoting scripture, isn't he? Do you know why? Because that's how he can deceive people. I'm being mean. But you know what? God doesn't care. Because if you think He cares, then you tell me why He hung His own Son on a cross. Because you'd say that was mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that was mean? Would you hang Selah on a cross? I'm not asking you for the moment, depending on the moment. Now, we're talking about a Son that pleased Him in every aspect of His life. The last time I checked, I'm sure, you know, I can relate to Brother Varner. He was talking about, one of the CDs I was listening to one day, and he was talking about, people are, you know, they're waiting for the Antichrist to come back. You know, they're waiting. You know, there's all different flavors of what the Antichrist is. And he said, most people don't really realize it's you and I on a bad day. Which is true. Because all Antichrist means, and first of all, most folks forget this. Jesus said the Antichrist is already here. And old John said the same thing. And oh, by the way, it's a spirit, it's not a person. You know, I like the movie Shooter, you know. And one of the reasons I like the movie Shooter, because at the end, he gets them, doesn't he? But you know what? That's flesh. That's that little something in us that wants to give it right back. It's not God. And do you remember, if you watched the movie, did you see the movie? Everybody see the movie? You know, when the Russian dude was sitting in the wheelchair, he said something. I mean, I watched that end. I mean, I won't watch that whole movie because it's so long, but I like that last half hour. I mean, it's like, whew, I love it. But you know, I caught something I never heard before. He said, you know what? No gun will kill the evil that is in man's heart. You could kill every Saddam Hussein, every Bin Laden, every Adolf Hitler, every Idi Amin, and you know, you can go through the course of history, and isn't it interesting? It doesn't matter the color of a man's skin. Kind of religion he believes, it's still Adam. And no gun, no military, no anything can stop it. I've got the good news tonight, folks. The only thing that can stop it is when you pick up the cross and die daily. We wanted to change the world. We wanted to change the world without changing ourselves. And 3,000 were added to the church in one day. Do you know why it was? Because they were under persecution and they were willing to die to themselves. They weren't running around, oh, you need the Holy Ghost. No, they weren't doing that. That's not what they were doing. That's what the church world does because it's all about stardom. But isn't it interesting? In Hollywood, we have the same issues, right? We have homosexuality because that's what the church has been. Preachers coming out, big churches. In the last few years, right? We have the same thing in Hollywood, don't we? All kinds of extramarital affairs. Don't even have to be married. And, you know, the situation I talked about, I heard. Listen, it's not the first one. Apparently, it's going on a lot. With preachers. And we know, we just saw the same thing in Hollywood just the other day, didn't we? Oh my God, Robin Williams is dead. We'll cry over that. He had everything. Oh, he's dead. Could you blame him? It's Adam. And the thing that bothers me the most, and I'm standing on my bully pulpit tonight, is this. We care more about this life than we do about his. And we have more of a facade than we want to believe. We spend more time on this than in this. And we'll hear a message like this and it won't move us, which automatically tells me we're full of flesh. Who do you think you are? I'm just a messenger from God. Because you know something? You could point out every fault in my life. But if I was a thief and you were a murderer and I said you were a murderer, it doesn't matter that you called me a thief. You're still a murderer. And you could find every problem wrong with me. But just because the voice of God comes out, you cannot deny what he's saying. We're full of flesh. Did anybody even bother? I'm sorry if I'm acting kind of crazy. Did anybody even bother to look up and see how old Methuselah was? No. 960, did you look it up? Anybody know how old Adam was when he died? The Bible says this. He died at 930 years old. The Bible says this. If a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day with the Lord, that means those two men who lived 900 and some years old didn't even make it past the first day. They lived a day in the sight of God. And I don't know about you, but in the scope of eternity, good God, a day gone? The only reason I'm even cranked up is because God's putting the pressure on me. And you know what happens when the pressure gets on? Because I already told you. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks, right? But it speaks when we're under the gun. And when God puts you in a place where he wants to kill you, I have a question. Where did they put John the Revelator? The last days of his life? On the Isle of Patmos. Does anybody know what that means? It's the place of my killing. Oh, good God. We can't preach that in the church. Don't you know you need the Holy Ghost and God died for you? And that's all wonderful stuff. But it's elementary and baby at the most. Because he says this in a place. He says, strong meat belongs to those that are full age. But he says this, if I won't die, I'm an enemy of the cross, the eternal cross of God. I love this. You might not like it. I'm sorry if you don't, but I love it. Well, you like it because you're preaching. Oh, yeah. I get to live it just like you do. Why? What makes you think it's, you know, huh? Yeah. You know what I mean, son? Does anybody ever, you know, anybody ever followed my path? You got to get the last word in. Right? It's just flesh. That's all it is. And I'm determined. I don't know about you, but I'm determined. God, kill me so I can live. That's a pretty dangerous word to say. You're right, it is. You know what I liked about what Brother Varner said? down in the manger, it's a stinky old place. I mean, the beasts are down there. Everything is rotten in there. It smells. It's you know, it's piles of it. You know, it's bad, right? But he said, you know what's down there? Hope. And hope to me is not wishful thinking. It's an expectation. And you know what the expectation is? Rest. That baby was just resting in a manger. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody want to say praise the Lord? Aren't you glad God called you? Amen. Oh, God called me to the nations. Yeah, he did. Kill the imagination between your ears. That's the real problem, right? I mean, can you imagine if we really just settled this in our lives? God called me to be salt and light. Nothing else. Just live like that. But we've had to tell everybody, hey, what's the calling in your life? I'll tell you what the calling in your life is, to come up higher. Amen? Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody not happy? Anybody not like the message? I love it. Right? Beck, am I right? Is this word right? Is it true? Is it scriptural? Did I take liberty to say anything? Did I have an attitude in it all? If I have an attitude, it's an attitude towards myself. But God, forgive me that I've not been living the way you want me to. I might not have any chains, but let me tell you, Paul had chains, didn't he? But he never gave up what God was doing. Father, we thank you for your life, your word, your spirit.